Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to invite you to our new International Urban Future Talk. Today is our guest, the former Minister of Culture of North Macedonia, Robert Alagiosovski. Be interested, be our guest. Join our Urban Future Talk. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining another Urban Future Talk. Today, our guest is the former Minister of Culture of North Macedonia, Robert Alagiosovski. Thank you for joining us, Robert. And our topics, dear guests, are Europe and especially culture. Robert, please introduce yourself in some sentences.
Yeah, I've always been a cultural professional. So I have MA in comparative literature. I was involved in publishing, in projects connecting with publishing, but also with the cultural project management. So intercultural dialogue, decentralization, social cohesion, building cultural centers, organizing art residencies. So I was a person coming from the field. And then I joined the opposition, at that time Social Democrats. And then over several years, I was the president of what we call Commission for Culture. So cultural policy issue was my expertise. And then being oriented towards European cultural cooperation, very early I got into international project, international partnership, networking all around Europe, so that in a way I'm also competent for European cultural policies. With this background, I become Minister of Culture in 2017, when the so-called colorful revolution, a big, massive citizens' protest, overthrew the growing hybrid or autocratic government of the ex-ministers. And then, of course, in these 7 years that I spent in the government, I also moved to the position of National Coordinator for Intercultural Dialogue. We implemented a lot of policies. Then now for a year and a half, I'm back in the cultural field when I always belonged. And now I'm again engaged into building international cooperation projects, of course, with local impact and broader regional impact, let's say.
Very interesting. Robert, we met at a gathering of the European Network River Cities, which recently relocated from Poland to Vienna and counts both the Urban Forum and the Wiener Bildungsakademie amongst its active members. May you say something about River Cities and this cooperation?
Yes. Well, first, congratulations on moving this important international network in Vienna. And my opinion was always that Vienna and Austria are a great component of the European Southern Eastern Balkans cooperation. And that's why I think it's very important to be recognized, but then that Vienna and Austria fully, in a way, acquire the fact that they are important mediator in the European and also, I would say, global cooperation. In River Cities, I was, I would say, even before the government, since the very beginning of the network in 2007. Then thanks to the network, we as a local NGO, Skopje-based, gained a lot of expertise. So this network offered us really the pathways to all the themes that are associated, like water development, sustainability, green public spaces, and other topics. And then in Skopje, for 2 years, I've organized the Skopje River Festival, which was a novel thing at the time. And then we made a pause, and now I was so happy to come back to my old family and to find new friends, old friends, but still, I think that the network is now even more knowledgeable about these burning issues, which are now the climate change and the needs for sustainable development even more. So whoever I met within the network, this is tremendous work, experience, and expertise. And I think in the less developed environments like Balkans and especially North Macedonia, Skopje, we need this collaboration and need this expertise so that we can start doing things better.
Of course, for our Institute Urban Forum, urbanity and urbanization are the main topics. Your country, North Macedonia, is a predominantly urban country with around 60% of the population living in 34 cities in 2023. The capital, Skopje, is the center in every respect, accounting for over 20% of the total population. Many countries are facing rural exodus, and the major challenges this poses for cities. How do you assess the situation in your country?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's not good because there was, as you noticed quite precisely, after the Second World War, the modernization of North Macedonia faced this urbanization. So what was traditionally agricultural and rural country moved to the bigger cities because of industrialization. And like that, the rural population decreased. But then after our independence, we didn't have a very successful transition from socialist and planned economy to market society. So this further increase this centralization. And then as we were, a newly independent capital state, the capital city becomes so important. And then it was hub for different peaceful initiatives around the city. So whoever wants some job actually enters Skopje. Then with opening of the European Union space, a lot of young people especially, they migrated into European Union countries, first world countries, so that we are facing that. I myself would say am agent or victim of this movement because I was born in a small place and then I moved to the capital of city at the age of 16 and I stayed there. And let's say my hometown decreased from 8,000 inhabitants to 3,500, so that there are such a beautiful but still empty family houses there.
So you know both sides, the rural and the urban areas.
Huh? Yes, yes.
You were born in Strumica. The city has almost 40,000 inhabitants, which would make it a large town, even by Austrian standards. How would you describe Strumica?
Yeah, well, this is a city which stands in a very important trilateral place, border place. So it's North Macedonia, Greece, and Bulgaria. And thanks to this position, actually, there is a lot of trade and urban development. So Strumica is developed constantly and growing constantly, but then it's the same because due to the very lively rural area around, the migration is that everybody now from the surrounding villages want to have apartment and to live in Strumica, and then this is on one side making the city grow, but on the other side it depopulates further the villages, and this is one of the best agricultural soil, so the best red peppers, the best peanuts, so many articles were traditionally growing there, and now this is becoming less and less. So let's say in northern Italy there is few areas like Piacenza, when you have the whole neighborhoods where 70% of a village in the Strumica rural area moved there, and now they work first in the construction industry, but then, of course, with their family coming, they made a small neighborhoods, not to say ghettos.
So is it a form of urbanity?
Yeah. As I said, if somebody comes to
city abroad, then they try to drag in all the neighbors, all the friends, all the relatives. Yeah. So what was, let's say, this big movement of immigration and diaspora in the earlier 20th century, we are living it today as well.
As mentioned, you are Minister of Culture of your country and National Coordinator for the Interculturalism, One Society, Cultural Development and Interministerial Cooperation in the Government of the Republic of North Macedonia. What were your most pressing tasks and goals in this role?
Yeah, so in the field of culture, we really want to reform the cultural system and to make it more open to cooperation with the European Union, because there is so-called institutional culture in North Macedonia, when the ministry has authority over 60 national institutions, and then there are over 60 more spread throughout the municipalities. But more or less, they all depend on the budget from the Ministry of Culture. And then, as it is so scarce, the financing, usually there is a little money left for the independent cultural sector. So one of our priorities was to further strengthen the intercultural sector, and then, of course, to support the culture of the minorities. But then also, as you mentioned, in the capacity for intercultural dialogue, we want to advance the minority rights. We had been making progress, and this progress was marked in the progress report of the Council of Europe and other competent bodies. But then when you come to the grassroots reality, it does not affect much the real life of the marginalized community. So now we have perfect documents. Now we have all the institutional bodies. Mm-hmm. We even have this intersectorial cooperation. But then we are still having difficulties to reach the people in need who are facing discrimination in education, facing discrimination in economy and employment, facing discrimination in employment. And then it is that the political parties very often use the inter-ethnic relation to become more popular in populist or nationalistic rhetorics, and then this in a way affects negatively the heavy work, day-to-day work that we are doing. Sometimes a statement by politician and the echo in the media can have a worse effect than you have done something positively for 6 or 12 months.
So this was the past. Is it correct to describe your current role as a European cultural mediator?
Yes, because when I finished my term in the government, I came back to the cultural field, and now I'm focused on international and European partnership, strengthening the networking, and then, yes, doing cultural cooperation, intercultural cooperation, social cohesion projects, urban development project, because this is our expertise and experience, and we are happy to do that.
Mm-hmm. We live in times of multiple crises caused by global warming, climate change, job losses due to digitalization and artificial intelligence, and the devastating wars. Can culture really still be a unifying bridge in such times?
Yes. It's very important that we become more resilient and more supportive to culture, because culture and cultural cooperation on a grassroots level, so it's the NGO sector, is the institutions, is the individuals and artists, they do a groundbreaking work on building bridges, fighting against stereotypes, using creativity for mutual benefits and social cohesion. They increase the understanding between the different nations. So if you want to make world a more peaceful space, and to in a way foster the dialogue among the countries, then you need grassroots culture to break the stereotypes. Otherwise, this what we call strategic propaganda and disinformation, this as they call it soft power, but actually this is root power, because it's by bringing destructive narratives about your neighbors is something which we live now. This, in my perspective, can only be fought by people-to-people connection and people-to-people bringing positive, socially engaged and public space action. And this is usually the work of cultural professional and artist.
Thank you. Dear guests, it was very interesting to have the former Minister of Culture of North Macedonia, Robert Alek-Josovski, joining our Urban Future Talk. We talked about Europe, culture as a bridge, cities, and I think it was very interesting. And allow me a small summary, Robert, make culture, not wars.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.